Good morning. While I'm waiting, let me just be clear about the disclosures. My name is Gladys Gonzalez-Ramos, and I'm joined by two colleagues of mine who are here in the audience, Elaine Cohen and Ruth Haggerston. Both Elaine and I are consultants at the National Parkinson Foundation, and Ruth Haggerston is a staff member. She's VP of Programs at the National Parkinson Foundation. And I'm going to be describing a program that we have worked on collectively for the past several years that we have received partial funding from the Medtronic Foundation. We really have been very fortunate to have their continued funding. So just to put this in a larger context for you, what I'm going to be discussing is a program for the past several years, about 7 years, that we started at the National Parkinson Foundation. For those of you who are not familiar with the foundation, it was established in 1957. It's headquartered in Miami, Florida, and it's one of the oldest and largest Parkinson disease foundations, and it has a national and international network of centers that provide both care, research, and outreach. And under Ruth's leadership, it really has become more interested in the whole issues of health disparities and the fact that there are many medically underserved populations with Parkinson's disease. We have built two national programs that are both become more interrelated through the years. One is the National Parkinson Care Network, the one that I'll be describing mostly today, and the other one is Ally Team Training for Parkinson. But these two programs are really about care, education, and outreach, with a particular emphasis, as I said, in the medically underserved. To guide our work very early on, we started to look at some of the work that has been done by the Institute of Medicine, which really has been terrific, particularly crossing the quality chasm. And in 1993, they came out with this particular publication, Unequal Treatment. And we just took a short little sentence from that book. That really starts to talk about the fact that health disparities is really much more complicated than just one factor. That the whole issue of access to care is much more than what sometimes people might think about. That it's not just about language or about insurance, that it's a lot of different factors really coming together in a very complex kind of way. So this is really been very inspiring to us to read, to think about from a conceptual point of view. Now, this particular program, which at this point we call the National Parkinson Care Network, started in 2001 with a task force. Because the first thing is that we realized we have to learn. We know that there are many medically underserved populations out there that are impacted by Parkinson's disease, both the patients as well as the families, but we have to listen to them. And so what we did is we formed a task force, some with professionals that were from the Parkinson Network and some from outside. And we went out to different communities and did focus groups, both with patients, with family members, and with community leaders from diverse communities, asking them, what is your experience of Parkinson's disease? How do you call this disease? What are the names that make sense to you in this? Where do you access care? Where do you go and get care that really makes sense for you? I wish back then we had known about Photo Voice, because I think that had we had the luxury of also giving them, you know, of an ability to also photograph some of their own day-to-day lives with this disease, it would have been very powerful. But we didn't know, so what we did was we used the focus group methodology, which did inform us quite a bit. And we did that for about a year and a half throughout the country. From there, with this task force, we developed what we know as the Community Partners Program, and the first period of this program, we went out to six different regions, both rural and urban, which really all had shown an interest in the medically underserved populations. And we looked for natural helpers, which were really community volunteers, as well as community liaisons. And these were all representatives of these different communities that basically could start to teach us about their own community, their own cultural way of being, and we could hopefully teach them something about Parkinson's disease so that as we tried to get the word out about Parkinson's, it was done in a culturally appropriate way. From there, in the second phase that went from around 2005 to 2007, the emphasis at that point was much more in coalitions, because what we realized is that, first of all, in some of these communities, there were already very powerful coalitions that existed, or in some cases, there were very good community leaders that we could invite and make a new coalition, to really, again, continue to look at how do we get the word out, how do we educate, what are the points of service that we need to get to. At this point, we were growing, and we were in around 15 different regions, and we really started to work in a very intentional way with agencies in these communities that really knew a lot about the community. So where we have been for the last couple of years, and we're still expanding in this, is really expanding the network much more at a national basis. And at this point, we are forming partnerships with national partners. Now, it's funny because it's national partners who also have local affiliates. So it's not that we've stopped working at the local level, but we're really working at every single level that basically opens its doors in some ways to us to see how we can work together. We've built some toolkits, some handouts actually with the help of consumers that we have in the back. This is our latest. It's in Spanish and English, How to Live Well with Parkinson's Disease, that you'll see if you're interested in the back. We have some of that. And we've also started to put more emphasis on training providers, because we realize that a lot of people who are medically underserved are not necessarily going to come to big centers to get their care. We really have to train these providers who are out in their communities to deliver the best care possible. So in these national partnerships, we're looking for national organizations that share a commitment for the medically underserved communities, and that they have established their infrastructure for training or service delivery. Just to give you a couple of examples from our first two partners, National AHEC Organization, which is Area Health and Education Centers. If you're not familiar with it, they are in 48 states across the U.S., and the National Alliance of Hispanic Health, actually they have a huge booth here, and these two organizations we started with, and as you can see, with AHEC, what we have been doing is we have been meeting. They have invited us at the state-level meetings, more local meetings, as well as their national meetings to co-present with them about how to form good partnerships, and also very specifically about Parkinson's disease. So we have been doing that. We have jointly developed with them some resources. We had like a medical diagnostic card, which they were very excited about, but when they started to get more involved with us, they said, you know, this doesn't work as well, this format. Why don't you reformat it in a way that's going to be more helpful? So we've done that jointly. With the Hispanic Alliance, they have an 800 toll-free number that anyone can call for health information in Spanish or in English, and we have trained all of their bilingual phone people to be able to answer some basic questions about Parkinson's disease and resources. We have jointly developed a fact sheet in Spanish and English, which is now featured on their website. Other potential partners that we are now working with in terms of that we already met with them is the Black Women's Health Imperative, the Association of Clinicians for the Underserved, and the National Rural Health Association. Again, all of these are in communities that have a lot of medically underserved populations that we're very interested in learning more about, and at the same time, they have been very receptive about learning from us about Parkinson's disease. These national organizations, what we share with them is a common vision, and that's how we end up selecting some of these partnerships, where both of us are looking to reach the medically underserved, and both of us are looking to educate the healthcare professionals. That's what we have in common. And what we have found in sort of some of our lessons learned is that it's been very helpful to formalize the relationship with a memorandum of understanding, to create in some cases a work group or a task force, anything that helps us to communicate with each other and to have joint programming. The issue of increasing communication between the organizations is key. And these are just some examples to give you. I'll just highlight a couple. Putting things on each other's website obviously is very helpful. With AHEC, we have monthly conference calls. That's not going to work for all the partnerships, but in that case, it has been very helpful. We've also attended, as I said, some of their meetings. And in the last point, as you see, the Georgia AHEC director has served as faculty in our training program, which again has helped us to really link that communication. Now, I just want to give you three very quick examples at a more local level, how we kind of have crossed the border from sort of this more national partnership to the local partnerships. In Georgia, which actually has been our longest partnership, we did sign a memorandum of understanding, but there the emphasis has been a lot of what they were starting to say to us is some of our clinicians are not going to be able to attend the continuing education program that we have, which is 4.5-day intensive. They said, you've got to come up with something shorter. So we are now jointly developing a one CME credit that's a lunch and learn program that will be webcast and then archived so that people can see it at any time that they are available. In Kansas, they put a lot of emphasis on rural populations, and they have used very successfully telehealth. In fact, at their last telehealth webcast, they had 600 people who attended who had Parkinson's and or essential tremor. And they are showing this across the different AHEC sites. What was interesting is that the Center of Excellence at the University of Kansas literally sat almost physically next to an AHEC office that they didn't really know about. And it wasn't until we formed that national partnership that we said to them, you know, you're almost like sitting next to each other and maybe you could work together. And now, in fact, they are, and they're going to start training some people to do support groups in Spanish. So sometimes you just kind of have to lead the way. And at Baylor College in Texas, their emphasis there has really been to work more closely to maybe try to write a grant to deliver more services to the Hispanic population. So right now they're looking into writing joint grants. So some of the lessons learned is we think self-assessment is really helpful. Just because you're ready also doesn't mean that your partner may be ready. But you first have to really see, are you really serious about this? Are you ready to sustain the effort? You have to get buy-in from all levels. And like any good relationship, building trust, having an open, collaborative team relationship is really key. Not rebuilding hierarchies, but really having honest conversations with each other. You also need to have recognition of each other's mission, no assumption that your priority is their priority, and having very clear expectations. Where some partnerships might falter is if you don't have clear expectations, where maybe you're expecting too much from each other, or you just simply show a lack of gratitude or appreciation or lack of clarity. You know, these are the kinds of things that this is basically relationship building 101, but sometimes we don't use it in partnerships, and this has really just been reinforced for us. And just to end with a quote that we have kind of found helpful from Carl Jung, The meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there's any reaction, both are transformed. We feel very much that we as an organization, we as individuals, have been transformed. We think that this has also happened with our partners. And so we hope that, you know, this gives you some ideas about perhaps some of the work that you might be interested in doing. And just to let you know, in terms of some resources, the Medtronic Foundation had commissioned us to write this book, Health Connect, A Practical Guide to Community Outreach, which I will leave for you in the past. They are very nice about it, and they give out complimentary copies, so that in case you're interested, this is a book that I, Ruth, and Elaine wrote based on some of this work that we have been doing for several years, so that if you want it, you can ask from Medtronic Foundation for it. Thank you very much for your attention.